All right, so we're going to call the April 9th, 2013 City Council meeting to order. Amy, roll call.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cutabak.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Student Representative Toronto.
Here.
All right, let's stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this time set aside for comments from citizens, and there's no one signed up to speak. Is there anybody who would like to speak? All right, moving right along to the business and action items. Looks like this is the Brad's meeting tonight. So the first item is the introduction 2014-2019 Transportation Improvement Program.
Thank you, Brad. Annually, the city is required to develop a six-year transportation improvement program that is consistent with the transportation element of the comprehensive plan and lays out our hopes for transportation improvements that we will be completing in the next 6 years. Pretty much this year, compared to the last year's plan that we adopted, we took off projects that we've completed or are soon to complete, such as the main Old Owen US 2 intersection, and then increased the cost by the 5.3%, I think it was, of the construction cost index increase from the Washington State Department of Transportation. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And we're having a public hearing on the 23rd, I think. When we're having a public hearing. Public hearing on the 16th, next week. So, to take public input on this, and if you have any other questions or comments after that tonight, you can bring them up next week, too, also.
Councilman Gearing?
Thank you. Greg, yeah, this looks like the, like you said, the same stuff from before. And we've just essentially shifted it out here to the 2019 column, right?
Correct.
So for the other than the numbers you just mentioned,
right,
the increase is where they are. The only comment I would have, and I think I had this, we do have this priority list.
Mm-hmm.
I know a number of council members have stated to the same effect. Number 14 is probably a higher priority than number 14. A lot of us have talked about that, the secondary access in and out of the Sinclair Heights neighborhood. I know I remember Councilmember Gamble specifically, and Councilmember Cutback and others have said similar things. I think we just got it on the list, if I remember correctly, last time. And so we just kind of left it there for that year. It would be my preference maybe to see that a little bit higher up the list. I don't know if tonight or 2 weeks or next week during public hearing is the right time for that. But everything else, I think it's going to end up being higher priority than a downtown parking facility, things like that. There's a safety concern there that we've all expressed before, so it'd be my preference to see that a little higher up the list, and would be looking for direction as to if tonight's not right night to talk about that, then maybe we can slot it in a different spot.
Yeah. Tonight would be fine if you want to discuss amongst yourselves how far up you'd like to move it.
Okay. Thank you. Member Cutabak.
Thank you. I would agree with Council Member Gearing that the East West Connector 195 to Chain Lake Road needs to move up in priority. And then just a question about it. We had on the current plan money kind of allotted in 2016, but then in the new plan we're looking at, we've moved that over to 217. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So what causes that movement? I mean, do we even have that money in 2006? We don't,
no.
Right? You're just kind of moving it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just moving everything. And then the other question I had was about the east-west connector south of Highway 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had discussion about that, but I don't know if we ever came to any resolution of even where that would be.
No, there is no resolution to that.
Okay. So I guess when I look at the priority, when I'm not saying take that off, because I know we've had a lot of discussion about that, but I guess I would say move up the 191st up even higher than that. We don't even have get mapped out in our community what that would look like or where it is. So until we kind of get that decided, I don't know how that can be a higher priority than something we already have kind of mapped out. So that would be my comments. The rest of the projects make sense. Do we take off the, what is it, Maine and Frylands? Is that gone now? Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't see it on there, but remember where Maine and Frylands, where
we took that
you guys
off
came up with that.
We took that off last year.
Okay, yeah. So that is permanently. Okay, yeah. All right, thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
No, I appreciate the comments from both council members. The other question I had, because I remember that we put the east-west connector 191st on after we had this discussion the last time, and I kind of want to just open for discussion. I don't see on here one of the things that we probably do need to look at as a council in the city is the whole north-south getting over Highway 2, railroad tracks. What the implementation, or it could be of, you know, more trains, you know, that sort of thing. And it'll at least start that discussion if we, because that will have a significant impact on traffic in the city and will be a pretty, well, in my opinion, shoot right to the top. I think that we should at least have it on the radar and start looking, planning, or, you know, whatever. So that, just kind of throwing that out there because I didn't see it anywhere on our list.
So. Would you yield for a question?
Sure.
Was there a certain area or idea you have in mind? Or?
Well, no. I mean, there's been lots of stuff that's been talked about on the side, you know, as far as, you know, hey, do you put a, you know, overpass in where the, you know, the damage is, where you're going over the, you know, over the top that goes over both the railroad tracks and Highway 2. So, I mean, we've got congestion issues, and some of these areas, whether it's the east-west connector or whatever, are trying to deal with some of that. But they don't eliminate the getting over US 2 problem and the getting over the railroad track problem. That could increase as we, if, you know, potentially we have an increase of train traffic. So it's just food for thought.
City Administrator Brazel had a comment about that.
Yeah, Brad has already had his staff kind of do some tentative design work on that, at least look at what the ramp distances would be for overpasses. So if that is of interest, staff could certainly bring that back next week or so and let council look at those designs and what the impacts would be. So we do have that if that's of interest.
Well, I'm personally interested in throwing that out.
Would that be federal or state? I mean, wouldn't we go for them for part of that funding if it's something coming off Highway 2 over the train tracks? I mean, is that something that the city would then be responsible, or because it's coming off of Highway 2?
If it's on Highway 203 or Lewis Street, there's a potential that the state would be involved with that because it is owned by the state. But
sure.
I would guess the city would end up funding those options.
Just historically, you know, the city's paying, along with some federal grants, you know, paid for the improvements at Main and Old Owen, Kelsey and Old Owen, and Chain Lake Road and Highway 2. So, you know, we have to take the lead on those things in order to get them done because, you know, the state has their priorities. And we're very far down, and right now there's not any money with sequester and all that kind of stuff being divvied out for transportation improvements.
Would the railroad provide any funding at all on something like that?
Railroad in the past's attitude has been that we were there first, you built your city around us.
Even though it was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councilman Gary.
And thank you again. Brett, Oak Street, does the city actually own Oak Street? I heard.
No, it does not.
Don't actually own Oak Street.
It's a public access easement right now.
Okay, and so we have got a project that's actually pretty high up the list for, I guess that's number 8. Mm-hmm. And I do see that it's way out of the boonies, 2019. So sure, there may be things that get done get done before. I guess we have this priority list, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be done in the exact order that we see here.
Because
obviously, you know, there are ones
that are coming in before. Way less money than what's on the list.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. What potential issues are, what else are we, would we have to do to actually make improvements to that road? We have to purchase it outright? Well, what do we have to do?
We would have to acquire it. I would assume that it depends on whether you want to use federal funds for it or not, or in any time in the future, because that determines how you acquire right-of-way. Right now, it already is an access easement, and the owners of the shopping center have to pay for the maintenance of it. So I would assume that they wouldn't be too disappointed to get rid of that maintenance responsibility. So that would probably lower the purchase price.
Sure. There's going to be an outgoing of money to, in addition to just the construction costs.
That's everything.
Okay, so what we see in aid is everything.
Yes.
Purchase price.
Yeah, making wild assumptions.
Well, RW right away, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the 368, mm-hmm. My eyes are thinking there. Okay. Great. Okay, appreciate it, thank you. Oh, actually, one more. To Councilmember Gamble's comments, an overpass over Highway 2? Sounds like a transportation improvement thing. Is that something that we actually even want to just consider on its own outside of this? Do we want to put it in here? What would be the best strategy for doing that? Rather than something that we can tackle without having to touch this? I don't know.
You can update this at any time. All you have to do is have a public hearing, and it's kind of out there a ways still. Yeah.
No problem. Great. Thank you.
Councilmember Kovac.
Brad, does Turney Place to Chain Lake to Woods Creek, which, you know, it's mm-hmm. number one on the priority list, if we were to do that and then have open, does that perfectly align up so it could be all the way then to Old Elm?
Yes. That's the intent, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Gamble.
So, you know, Gene made the, I would be interested. I guess the one thing I would throw out there is that we do have a public hearing already.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And you know, I think it would be a good time. I think you put it on the list. At least we're drawing attention to it. But we're not, you know, there's ignoring the information that's out there. That we're already, you know, thinking about it. And whatever work we can do in the background would be fantastic, and information that we can consume on it.
Okay. Yeah, it's perfect timing for us because they just completed it late last week, so it's perfect timing. Great. So we'll bring it next week.
Thanks.
Brad, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are we required to prioritize these, or are we required to just get them on the list?
Just get them on the list.
Because it seems like we spend a lot of time talking about where things should go on the list, but in my experience, we don't do them in that way. So do we even need the priority column on there?
You do not need it. It's not required. It just, you know, sort of helps the council when they're divvying up money for things. And, you know, like when we get the traffic mitigation fees from a large box retailer, soon we hope, you know, which project should that go to, kind of thing.
In help. Years past, when we talk about priorities, a lot of times there's maybe a higher priority item, but it's a $4 million item, mm-hmm. and we have $50,000, right. And we can, so I'm just throwing that out as a suggestion that rather than keep hashing where things should go in the list, if mm-hmm. Do we even need that column at all?
Yeah,
we
don't. Then it just also helps staff sometimes that a call for grant requests will come out and say, you've got, you know, 3 days from now, give us all your suggestions for some money we might have available. So we use that to pick things. So
okay. So I guess if we're going to keep priority, then the council members who suggested some items they'd like to see shift, is there some recommendations as to where you want to see those?
When we put the just add number 15 and put the Highway 2 overpass that Councilmember Gamble brought up, so it's on the list, right? And then they can fill in the numbers at a different time. Do we have the? And I guess the other one would be the 191st is the 14. What's the numbers on? Oh, that's like a $4 million project. Okay.
As is number 5.
As is.
They're like the highest.
Let's just move that one. Let's move it right. This is make it number 6. Put them right next to each other, and then, you know, maybe like Brad says, some miracle grant comes in, and we can just, if $10 million comes in, you can do both. So, But I don't know, that represents certainly what we've said before, that needs to be addressed, and it still hasn't been, so plug it up to this.
Next item is also Brad. Set a date to consider planning commission's recommendations for Roosevelt Weasels.
Okay, we were, as directed by the city council, we have taken the Roosevelt Road rezone through the required process. This was started out in 2008 when that area was annexed to the city. In 2010, the city council changed the comprehensive plan land use designation to 5 to 7 lots per acre. And then now is the continuation of that is the rezone to UR 6000. Has had its required public hearings. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the rezone. And according to our Monroe Municipal Code, we have to present the findings and conclusions of the recommendation of the Planning Commission to you, which we are doing tonight. And at that time, you set a meeting date to consider them and provide direction to staff on what to do next. And so we're recommending that you set the date of April 16th, 2013, to consider the Planning Commission's recommendation on the legislative rezone RZ 2011-01 Roosevelt Road.
I think somebody had first.
That's all right, go ahead.
I make a motion to set the date of April 16th, 2013 for consideration of the Planning Commission's recommendation on legislative rezone RZ 2011-01 Roosevelt Road.
Second. Okay, a motion been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Gehring. Councilmember Gehring?
Again, this is I think it's important to remember, and I guess we'll get this next week, that this is a separate issue from any proposed development that might go on up there. And I guess we're just getting this now. It certainly has been some talk in the community about it. Again, one of the reasons this was annexed in the first place was to help with our density numbers for the buildable lands report. So from that standpoint, I'm glad we're finally getting around to at least having a yay or nay on that. I look forward to seeing this back next week. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutler.
Thank you. Brad, what was the vote on the Planning Commission to forward the recommendation? Do you remember what?
I think it was 5-1.
Okay.
I believe it was 5-1.
Yes.
Okay. I don't see anything about, and I can look up the Planning Commission notes, just discussion. What was the one dissenting vote? Do you remember what the argument was?
It had to do with future development of the area.
Okay.
So
they were talking about future development.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks,
Matt. Seeing no more lights, we will call for a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. I was here, 2 weeks ago for introduction to this sign code, and last week you had some discussion and passed the amendment on first reading. Since last week, there have been some changes to the ordinance, just FYI. The ordinance is now, we've established it as an interim ordinance. It's good for 6 months. And all along we had intended to give it some kind of a sunset so that we could consider changes, tweak it, address anything that comes up in the meantime. And we also went back and added the action to delete the sign guidelines out of the North Kelsey design guidelines. Which is our intention from the beginning. As we adopted the new sign code, North Kelsey goes away, the sign portion of it. The downtown guidelines still remain in force. And there are a few minor changes suggested by Attorney Lowell on the ordinance. But that brings us to tonight. So So I know you had some discussion. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try and give you some answers.
I see no lights. Councilmember Goodwin.
So I wanted to kind of discuss this a little bit more with council and propose a couple of friendly amendments. I expressed what I liked about the ordinance last week. There was a bunch of things that I do like about the ordinance, the clarity, about the freestanding signs and the temporary signs, and taking signs down if a business is defunct and doing that in a timely manner, which I think helps the whole look of the community. Couple things that concerned me were the 10-year non-conforming. So if a sign becomes non-conforming, they have 10 years to keep it up. And a lot of the material I read, 5 to 10 years is kind of the average. So I think we're erring on the side of 10 years. And if this is an interim ordinance, I'd like to propose an amendment that where we change the period to 5 years. A non-conforming sign has 5 years, but then they could apply for a 2 1-year extensions if they can show that it's a hardship on them to make the change.
To you, Ms. Verhoeven.
Sure.
No motion's been made, so you can just make a motion with the changes that you'd like to see.
Well, we already approved the first draft of the amendment.
But it's, you don't have for the second one. You can.
Okay, so we can just
totally. You can make whatever motion you want.
Okay.
It'll go up or down.
Okay. Okay, good. So not a friendly amendment?
You can just, because there is no motion that's been made.
Okay.
Oh, are you making a motion?
What? Yes. I'm making a motion then to change.
Second. You want to read it?
Quit reading.
You're making a motion to make a change.
I'm making a motion to change.
Okay. 5 year and 1 year extensions.
Correct. Yes. 5 years, 2 1-year extensions.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. I read the whole.
Yes.
All right. We'll get it. I'll get it. Okay. Motion. I'm going to put my reading glasses on. Motion to accept a second and final reading ordinance number 002-2013 regarding zoning code amendment 2012-04 amending MMC title 18.80. Signs as proposed in Exhibit 1 and based on the findings and conclusions as shown in Exhibit 2.
And the changes you want
to make?
Changes.
Well, have you completed all the changes that you want to talk about? I want to hear your changes, but I thought we were doing one change.
We are, exactly.
Okay.
So I'm going to do one change at a time because I'm feeling some might go. And
I don't know if you need a parliament chair anymore, but so she can make the motion. Make the additions, and then we can vote on those.
Can we
and then
vote
we
on
have
those
this
separately?
One with the approved changes as the final one.
Actually, since she started out making the motion to approve the ordinance as written, so you make that, second that, and then start doing motions to amend the code. And says
okay.
First one would be change 10
second.
Years to 5 years,
got
and then
second.
Vote that up or down.
Okay,
yeah.
So now I would like to propose some changes. So the first one is, and we're going to vote on these separately, correct?
You're moving to amend your vote.
That's where I get confused. It would make no sense if we did the changes first.
Exactly.
And then did the final motion.
Yeah.
I
mean, you could do that either way.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So your motion will die.
Yes.
Now you're going to present a motion.
Okay. That's better. So the first one that I'm moving, that we change the period of time for a non-conforming sign to 5 years instead of 10, with 2 1-year extensions if necessary.
Second. Councilman Gary, your light's on. Do you have a comment about this?
About this, I did not. Thank you.
I see no other lights, so we'll take a vote on that motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes 5-1.
The second, I still have the floor. Mm-hmm. I should check with you guys first.
Who voted over that?
Councilman Gearing, sorry.
Gearing, okay.
We talked briefly last week. We have a lot of documentation in the sign code of examples of what a good sign should look like, which is great. I'm glad that was included in this, in the documentation. And the information that I had read, and I expressed this last week, was some city ordinances include an incentive for businesses to develop signs that are better looking monument signs instead of pole signs. So I'm proposing that we include something in the ordinance that allows city staff to come up with a list of incentives that encourage a business to construct signs that are, you know, examples of that are included in the packet that we received.
Yield for motion.
Sure.
So without knowing what those are, what those incentives are, it's hard for me to vote sure. one way or another on that. And one suggestion that I might offer is, if this is an interim ordinance, is there, you know, there's time to maybe bring something back so we sure. can discuss that particular point of it.
Just a comment on that is that you are required to have the public hearing within 60 days from the adoption, which is June 4th, we have it scheduled for. And at that time, you could, after that public hearing, say, if you want to tweak this, tweak that, tweak that. So if you come up with some language about what kind of incentives would be appropriate, we could add it at that time.
Okay. Yeah, and so Councilmember Kaibak, you saw the floor, but that was my question, is it's hard to understand what those incentives are and what that would even look like without ever seeing it or discussing it.
I agree. Last week, I was under the impression that staff were going to look at that. Maybe I misheard that or misinterpreted that.
I guess we misinterpreted that. That looked like it was more along the lines of the six-month
okay.
time frame.
After the time frame.
We
okay.
would come back with something that said
okay.
about that.
Okay. So we'll hopefully staff can look at that over the next 6 months and look at adding. So I'll withdraw that as an amendment or a change to the ordinance.
Brad, did you say June 4th? I'm curious.
June 4th is a required public hearing since this is being adopted as an interim
okay,
ordinance.
That's what it's okay.
And since we did, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on the sign code itself, but they didn't hold a public hearing on the repeal of Chapter 7 from the North Kelsey Design Guidelines.
Okay.
So we have to go back and hold the public hearing on that within 2 months.
Okay,
we'll
do it. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a second on her?
No. Another motion to have the 45-foot sign allowance on Main Street, kind of Main and Fryland, facing Highway 2, reduced to 35 feet. That's the only area that's allowed 45 feet. I drove by it again last week. The pole was told was at 35 feet. You can see the pole from 522, the top of the flagpole. I think having just a 45-foot pole right there at one section of our town, nowhere else, doesn't fit in with where we're going with this sign code. So I'm making a motion to have it limited at 35 feet, not 45 foot.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Kedebak, seconded by Councilmember Cam, and that's to change the 45-foot sign height restriction down to 35 feet?
Correct.
Okay. Councilman Gearing?
Thank you. Respectfully enough, we'll be not in support of that. We've had a lot of studies done with regards to that. We had a lot of people put a lot of time into that, and I think 45 is reasonable, specifically in that area, specifically for a service commercial and that type of a business. Respect that will be. I'm in support of leaving it at 45, so I'll be voting.
Okay. It's time. We'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. 3-3?
No, there's seven of us, so there was 3-4 or 4-3.
So it was hard to hear.
I heard three yeses. I heard you.
It was aye.
No, you were not yes. So it's 4-3 then.
I didn't hear the motion yes. passes 4-3 with Council Member Gearing. Davis,
And who else was in opposition?
Amber.
Okay.
And next time I won't use my finger.
I don't know why I did that. I know.
It's hard for me to hear
that. I'm sorry.
Okay, one more. So this relates to the digital signs. And Paul, I need to ask a question before I propose this. So how I read the sign code, that the digital signs are allowed throughout the industrial park in the Freilands area, except where they can be seen from Lake Tide?
That's correct.
Okay. And they're allowed on Highway 2.
General commercial.
General commercial. And they're allowed downtown, just time and temperature.
The digital, or call them video, sign is in general commercial, service commercial, and as you described, in the industrial park, except for visibility to Lake Tide. The other areas, like the mixed use areas downtown, so forth, we allow the changeable copy or the changeable message sign, but not the
video,
the streaming video, but more like a flat screen TV type sign.
Oh, okay. Well, I would like to make a motion to restrict the digital signs in the industrial park. So we've already restricted them where you can't see them right there from Lake Tide, right? They're not visible from Lake Tide. In the industrial park, there's not a lot of service commercial. There's a lot of manufacturing where you're not necessarily having a lot of customers come back there. The concern I have with, again, the video and the streaming is you can't control the content. So a city can't control the content. So I'm looking at big picture of what can happen. So hypothetically, in the industrial park, it's zoned for adult entertainment. There could be a possibility that there's a video sign in that area streaming certain things that we don't have control of the content. I don't see the need for the video streaming back there. Again, it's tucked away Highway 2. People can make an argument that that's necessary. People are driving by there on their way in and out of town, but the industrial park, I don't feel there's a need for the streaming and the video signs in that area. So I'd make a motion to restrict them in that area, but allow them in the other area that's designated.
Second.
Councilmember Gary?
Thank you. Not in support of that again. That would eliminate any of those kinds of signs in the industrial district that are in view of Highway 2. There's a few of them that are already. I think that's exactly where those kind of things belong. That's not in view of Lake Tide. It's not in view of schools. The entire industrial area goes all the way up to Highway 2. So if I understand what you're proposing correctly, in the light industrial district, that would actually eliminate some of the, like where United Rents is, so some of the places actually abut up to Highway 2, where the screens actually might make a lot of sense. If I understand your motion correctly, it would actually restrict that there. And I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's the intent of the work that was done to do this from that perspective. So I certainly appreciate the concern about adult entertainment. That's not something that's even visible from Highway 2, where that's allowed in the industrial district, if I remember that as the map. So I don't really think that's. That particular thing can't be viewable from Lake Tide, which means it's going to be away from families who might be seeing it if they're enjoying the park. So, I won't be in support.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll come over Hanford.
Yeah, just for clarification, we're talking about the streaming video, the flat screen you just talked about, correct?
Right.
But Councilman Green, it sounded like you said that there's already that at United Rentals.
Along there, there's already digital signs, and that's light industrial all the way up to Highway 2 there. If this motion was to go along, there couldn't be any sort of that type of thing along Highway 2 as you're driving. Along Highway 2 as you're driving between foothills, between the Freilands and 179. Everything on the right hand side of the road as you're coming into town, you wouldn't be able to have those there. To me, that's exactly where that's where you would have them. That would be the only appropriate place to have them, is along that area. So it's light industrial. It's not just a service commercial. The motion was for light industrial, which is saying in this entire area, those businesses that abut up to Highway 2, you couldn't do that there. In a number of cases, it actually would make sense to do that depending on the business. Where the adult entertainment area zone is, does not abut, at least in my understanding, doesn't necessarily abut up to Highway 2. It would be overly restrictive. I certainly understand what some of the concerns, I think, and given the fact that this is an interim ordinance as well, I think this one just goes a little too far in the interim. If it doesn't work out in 6 months, perhaps we change it. I think this time it doesn't.
Because I'm trying to think of what streaming video signs are there right now. And I know there's several signs light up digital. But
there's a couple word ones. I can't think of the actual name of it. There's ones near Wet Noses. I can't think of the top of my head what it is, but okay. See words flash up there today. There's definitely words. A little bit different with video.
Correct.
For the best, to me, that's the place it belongs the most anywhere in town, is right along. Is if you're going to have it, that'd be the place that you would have it. Because people wanting to draw your attention to whatever businesses might be in there. Because you don't want a 45-foot sign, sticking all the way up. And when you're going 55 miles an hour, like we talked about before, those things are timed so that you can see them safely while you're going down the road. So anyway, I certainly understand the concern. I think that one is overly restrictive for the interim ordinance.
Paul? Brad, wasn't it? Was it you or was it you, Paul, that talked about the signs and how they're strategically placed at certain heights and in views? And the reason I'm asking is, if I'm driving on Highway 2, I have to look over to look at the area we're talking about. And I believe for the video signs that we talked about, one of you presented on, was that it had to be quick messages and they had to be in line with the flow of.
I think that was actually Tom met with our consultants when he was talking about signage, maybe sure. Digital specifically, but in general, that it needs to be seen this way, not this way when you're driving forward.
Okay.
There's a window of placement that works best. That doesn't work very well if you have to turn your head and distract the driver.
Okay.
But we had quite a bit of discussion about this subject with the commission. It ranged all the way from prohibiting digital in the light industrial area, which is Frylands and the older part of the industrial park, to allowing with no restrictions. We considered allowing the digital signs only along Highway 2 properties. And the final consensus was to allow it in the light industrial. There were, businesses like Clearview, and there may be others that were interested in digital. The end result being to restrict it from visibility to Lake Tide and protect the park from that intrusion of the imaging and so forth. So that's we considered a number of different options. That was what came out of the commission meeting. And there may be options beyond that. But if you want to try and restrict or exempt in some way, it needs to be fairly simple and clear, like we did for if it's visible to the park, you can't do it. Maybe a matter of trying to plot it and check, but that isn't enforceable.
Paul, are we able to enforce a restriction like that in adult entertainment zones, or is that going too far?
Well, it could be. That would be a fairly straightforward exemption. We allow digital, except for the Lake Tide reference, and it's prohibited within the adult entertainment zone. That's another possible tweak.
Okay, and also, so the things that I heard Councilmember Cutback talk, that was one of the concerns, was the adult entertainment. I'm not sure on the whole how the city manages content, because even a reader board sign, you can put whatever you want up there. So I'm not sure how we would enforce that. So I don't share that concern. I do share the concern about, you know, adult entertainment and what, you know, they might feel is appropriate might be different than other people. So I would be more in support of that than I would be of that whole area. So I agree with Councilman Gearing that that area along Highway 2 is the, in my opinion, it's the prime spot for those signs. So I don't know if you want to change your motion or if you want to go with what was there.
Well, I would suggest that we get legal input on that before we knew that is something that we, so Brad has a comment, but.
Brad's got his attorney hand up. So.
Just draw your attention to 18.80.120F, which talks about electronic messaging centers and displays and video displays. The permits are 1 year of duration. Is that correct, Paul? And after that 1 year, they have to, you'd look at traffic safety, driver and pedestrian distractions, and other criteria of the code before whether or not you renew that sign. So maybe that's, in the interim period, they're only going to be up there for a year anyway, and it's not like they're, you know, they move it up, they put it in, and they're good for 10 years.
Yeah.
So they're only good for a year.
Part of the intent of that is if there's a business owner that's continually violating the requirements of the standards for the digital, then that gives us a means to stop that sign. We can't get it resolved, that it does expire after a year, potentially.
Councilman Gearing?
So as it stands, I'd be in opposition. I'd be in favor if what you said with regard to light industrial was removed and would specifically apply to adult entertainment. I would be in support of that. If you want it to stay how it is, then we can vote on it, and then I'll make a motion to that effect. So whatever you'd like to do with regard to that. So.
Yeah, I can amend my motion to apply just to the adult entertainment, barring any inconsistent information we get from the attorney. Do you know whether that's something we want to go down that route? I know that we barred it from Lake Tai, that's one thing. But now we're moving into constitutional rights and free speech, and it's a whole other ballgame whether we can restrict signage in that area. So I guess
contingent upon review from the
exactly.
City attorney.
Yes.
Can we do that as a second reading? Since this is a second reading, this is kind of final, and that's the only reason why I think that we might just need to not. As a second reading, I don't know that we
yield for it. I mean, what if we gave direction to staff to review this so that we have all of that information at the 6 month mark? I think we have everything kind of in place. There's nothing there now, right? I think we would
sure.
meet the window, and then we would be in a good position to have all the facts in order that we could very much make that amendment when the time comes in 6 months.
I'm good with that.
So you would need to then just withdraw this
motion. Withdraw the motion. Do we have a second?
I had seconded the original one, so I will understand the
first.
Okay. We're still yanking it all from there.
Good points.
So, any others?
Nope.
Okay.
We will check into that as well as the incentives.
Councilman Kapp?
Yes, what to do.
Thank you. Let me get back to it. I would like to move that we accept a second and final reading, Ordinance 002-2013, regarding Zoning Code Amendment, ZCA 2012-04, amending MMC Title 18, signs as proposed in Exhibit 1, and based on the findings and conclusions as shown in Exhibit 2, pursuant to the modifications that have been voted on for amendment by the Council.
I'll second. Motion has been made by Councilman Camp, seconded by Councilmember Williams. Councilmember Kearing.
Thank you. I had opposition to the 7 years versus the 10, 35 feet instead of the 45 feet. Those have already passed. So I'm certainly in favor of all the changes altogether. Just restating that And given that this is an interim ordinance, I don't think there's any harm with the way that it was written, but I already voted on this. So, I will be supporting it overall because I think the changes are great. A lot of hard work went into these. It's much easier to read, I think.
Seeing no other lights, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0.
Evening, Council. Last year, we discussed bringing a planning and permitting technician in. At the time, we decided not to bring it in because we didn't have the revenues. We said bring it back if we more permits start coming in. Brad has the idea. We have an employee in his design and construction group that's actually retiring. What we'd like to do instead of backfilling that position, it's more critical to get a planning and permit technician in here. So we take those leftover funds and fund that with the planning and permit technician. That will leave us, continuing down the line of our customer service in that field, and we'll improve customer service and should decrease our backlog. So pretty straightforward. What we are asking for is a month overlap, which is where that budget, the budget number comes in, because we'd like to have the person that's leaving train the person that's coming in. So.
Councilor Geary.
Thank you. No questions. It may make sense. There's a little bit of a cost of business to make sure it moves smoothly. And I'm totally in support of that. So I move to let the hiring freeze, authorize staff to start recruiting a planning permitting technician.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. Ben, just one question.
Yeah.
Since it was a public works position, is that comes not out of the general fund? And then does the planning permitting person, will that now be coming out of the general fund?
That position is divvied up amongst all sorts of things currently, and they're also...
Which position?
The current position, the public works one. And they'll still be working on the same kind of thing. It'll just be reporting to a different person so that we have a more streamlined permitting process rather than when someone comes in and they ask for a permit. It's like, well, that one's over there, and that one's over there, and that one's over there. So it's a centralized permitting process. So they'll still be doing the same work, which it will still be related to installing water lines and things like that. It'll just make the customer experience better.
So the cost allocation won't change, I guess, right?
Right.
So they'll still be in the public works, not in the general fund. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I guess that was my confusion, Brad, was that because that person that's leaving is going to be training them, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct.
But we're not backfilling their position. Are we just changing the title of the position? Is that what
well, basically, we have two separate permit processes right now, and there's some permits that go through the planning permitting division and some permits that go through the design and construction division. So we're going to basically combine it so everybody goes to the same place, and that better efficiencies, and it's not that's not my job kind of thing, and you have to talk to that person and that kind of stuff.
So
you come in and we're here to help you get a permit, and we don't care what kind of permit you're getting, it's us that does it. So
that person is doing the job now, their sole function was just doing one side of it, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they did some other stuff, and actually they had taken on a lot of work that had been downsized to them because the other people who did those works were laid off in the past few years, and now that other staff have come up and we've got more settled on how things are going, that's been given back to those people. So, like, they were doing business licenses, which are now been taken over by the finance department. So we're getting things worked out to be basically better places for them to be done at.
Thanks.
Okay, seeing no other lights, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. So we'll recess the meeting and reconvene with the study session. And Brad, you're back up.
We're here tonight to talk about the Public Works Department goals, and if you see in your agenda packet, there's 88 goals, and I'm planning on spending an hour on each one.
friends last year.
When are you going to Paris?
I'll be done just in time to get the catch of boy. So there's a whole bunch in the packet. I'm not going to talk about these ones. These are just the highlights we're going to go over today there. And in the audience, we have Mr. Paul Popielka, the planning and permitting manager, Mr. John Landy, the wastewater treatment plant manager, and Mr. Jacob Roberts, the operations and maintenance division manager. If you have any questions, they'd be, I'm sure, more than happy to answer them. So the overall department goals are to provide exceptional customer service. You know, whether that's giving somebody a permit or providing them with clean water, increase efficiencies all the time, and then have information available. And that's both records disclosure requests, the updated information on the website, you know, current permit forms and things like that. So have that stuff available, easy for people to find. And we have our four divisions or offices that are part of the Public Works Department. In planning and permitting, that's the Permit Assistance Center, the Zoning and Land Use Office, and the Building Life Safety Office. Their big thing pushes right now, in addition to all the day-to-day kind of things, is to develop a unified development code, which is basically to combine all the city's codes that quite often conflict with each other. There's, you know, things like assigned sewers, sizes of pipe, and things like that. There's requirements in the Monroe Municipal Code, there's requirements in the Public Works Standards, and there are requirements in the Uniform Plumbing Code, and they don't necessarily all match. So the idea is to get everything together so that there's one place for people to go and there's one answer as opposed to three answers on what size pipes people are supposed to put in. And the other one is the 2015 Comprehensive Plan Update, which we're gearing up for right now, and hopefully you'll have that out in the middle of 2015. And if you have any questions, feel free to jump in, or you can wait till the end. Design and Construction Division basically has internal projects of things that we build for the city, such as road projects, sewer line replacements, things like that. And we also do external projects, is the review and the inspection of development construction for people putting in plats and things like that. Our big goals are to respond quickly to opportunities so that we're... Two is when new things come up, we are able to quickly respond to them and get things out the door, as opposed to, well, we're busy, you know, we'll look at that next year. For example, because of some work that we've done, we are able to apply for some grants that may be coming available, because people who got grants for road projects haven't moved fast enough on them, and the federal government says the state has to spend the money or it's going to go away. So if we have projects that are ready, we can get in line to get that extra money. And then also, as I just mentioned with that, the hiring process is to get into the single permitting process. So there's, when people come into the city, there's one place to go for a permit. It's not, well, that's over there, that's over there kind of thing. Operations Maintenance Division, it works on drinking water, sanitary sewers, stormwater transportation, fleets, and that's all the vehicles the city has, and the facilities, all the buildings the city actually owns. Their big goals are to replace commercial meters in order to make sure that we're charging people for all the water they're using on those large meters. Some energy efficiency projects to save cost by installing energy efficient equipment. Our National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System compliance for both wastewater and for stormwater. And then the development of the municipal campus. And then emergency management is their citizen preparedness. How do we get our citizens better prepared so they don't have to depend on us? And then also, how is the government prepared so that when something happens, we can continue to function? And that's developing a community continuity of government plan, and then also doing public education. And that's it. It's going to take 88 hours. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And our managers are back there ready to answer questions, too. Or we can just move on.
City Administrator Bradley. Can you expand, Brad, just briefly on the new lead and water meter compliance law that we're going to have to comply by, and how that is going to be addressed as far as replacing the commercial meters first?
I will defer to our operations division manager.
Basically, without getting too lawyerly, if you touch it, you've got to replace it with something that doesn't have lead in it. Currently, our water meters that we use have been specified with such low levels of lead that it's basically non-detectable in drinking water. However, the good people at the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level decided that it needs to be less than that. So now it's none. So when we have to to get into any of our brass fittings in the field, or meters specifically are mostly made with brass bodies. The newer stuff's made with plastic composite bodies. But essentially, when we begin to do maintenance on something, or if something breaks and we need to replace it, we have to replace it with something that's lead-free. So there's a significant cost to that, more than what was. It's about 20% more for the same parts now. But that's the new standard as of January of next year.
Well, that was pretty close. Councilman Gamble.
Oh, come on.
So I just have one quick question. You talked about priority order on the streets and stuff mm-hmm. like that. When I look at the design and construction division, and it has it as long, short, mm-hmm. you know, range. So is it kind of based off of
It's based off of that priority.
That came up earlier, so I just thought it was kind of important.
So if you change the order in that, we'll change the order in there, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the one thing I would like to say or whatever is that the long-term on your design is to provide exceptional customer service. Is that a long-term goal?
That's to do. It's not to get accomplished in the long-term. That's kind of continuing, so it goes on forever. Okay. As opposed to putting in short-term, well, we'll do it for a week, and then we won't worry about it anymore.
Long-term.
Continue.
Okay.
Yeah, continue.
We might want to add that phrase.
Yeah.
We've accomplished
it. Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to keep doing it more levels, continuing than long-term, than medium-term, and short-term. So I thought about that. So
sort of the plans for 2018.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So.
Councilmember Cutback.
That was exactly my question.
Okay.
The use of the long term, something like
ongoing,
or immediate and ongoing versus long term. That's not a long term goal.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing.
Right.
So that was it.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you, Brad.
Okay.
And all the whole team back there for all your work. And excited for the direction mm-hmm. we're going.
Thank you.
Yeah. Obviously, we work on customer service every day. It is truly contagious. We all do.
Department reports. Brad, there's a couple things for Public Works in the packet. Is that for us to go through?
That's just, for you to
peruse,
nothing specific, just updates.
I would like to just point out the sanitary survey for the water system and just highlight the importance of that and what a fine job our staff is doing. I remember years and years ago where our water system was not in the condition it is today. We were out of compliance for years and years, and we've worked hard to come into a compliance, and now we've got one of the best water systems in Snohomish County, and to get a stellar review like this is just awesome. So anyway, just wanted to point that out and commend staff for the good job you're doing.
I guess we'll just go around and see if there's any other departments that want to provide any updates. Jacob?
John?
Ben? Paul? Ben, you have to say something.
Well, I just want to say I was on the treatment plant last week to check out the construction, and it was definitely a great trip. I recommend it to everyone. It's going great. There's a lot of stuff down there. John is an excellent tour guide, so if you haven't done it already, it's a significant investment that the city's made. Definitely connect with John and go down there.
Just don't wear your heels.
Yeah, wear boots. Then you don't want to wear it again.
I would like to extend that invitation to don't come now. We have about another month or two before we get pavement down, but I do want to extend the invitation to everybody to please come up. We'll have some sort of an opening house, a grand opening, where we'll let everybody get a chance to look around, but anyway, I'll be open to me.
Chief? All right, State Administrator. We'll do the council on the administrative raffle after dinner.
Yeah, we actually, on that talk, we talked about having an open house and actually starting a council meeting down there, because I think it is very important for council to see what is down there. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling. It is state-of-the-art, and there's many systems in place, about nine different processes at the plant. So it's definitely worth council going down there so that when our citizens ask questions, you can answer it. It's impressive. So at any rate, we'll work with John and maybe talk with council a little bit more about that and maybe start a meeting down there with you. Draft agenda for April 16th, 2013. Under announcements and presentations, we have a proclamation, Building Safety Month, May 2013. We have the public hearing for the 2014-2019 Transportation Improvement Plan, and Brad will be providing the railroad crossing overpass options that have been drafted up. We have a consent agenda, and under new business, we have four items. Number one being discussion of social media policy. Council requests that be brought back, and on that very evening, I believe the council committee will actually be reviewing that as well.
Yeah.
And I have already drafted up a proposed policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've handed that out to the council committee. They've had it for about a week or so, and essentially it's the City of Seattle example. Roosevelt Road rezone is number two. Number three is authorized mayor to sign amendment to the agreement with NGKF for real estate services. Number four is ordinance amending MMC 1308 sewer system regulations. That's the first reading. Under final action, number one, we have appoint pro and con committee members, the ballot measure for criminal justice. And then the draft agenda for April 23rd, 2013. Additions or deletions?
Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I brought up last week moving stuff from the 23rd to May 7th. That's not possible. Okay. Looking at the 7th, there's a couple of public hearings and two consent agenda items. I know stuff might come between now and then, but this stuff's not time sensitive. That'd be nice. Be nice to move that stuff off. I know. We can talk a little bit about that next, which Councilmember Gamble was careful. We figured he wouldn't be too opposed to something like that since he's part of the report. That's that time. Anyway, I just want to throw that out there again. I know it's still 2 weeks away. If we can move that stuff off, I think it'd be great. But again, that's my opinion. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. When we talk about the final action, the appointing the pro and con committee, could you include in the packet the RCW of exactly kind of what the procedure is and what we're supposed to do by law, just for our own information?
That would be the county's. I can send that information to you.
So there is a state RCW that we're supposed to comply with, and there's a county.
I've been following the county.
Okay.
And we have nobody so far.
So nobody knows, but could you just include the procedure in the packet just from, I don't know if anyone else, last time I looked up that stuff just so I could be aware of kind of what our duty is as far as what we're supposed to do, as far as reaching out to people we know are pro or con and what that means. So I know there's an RCW that applies to that, so.
Would you yield for a question? That was one of the things I wanted to ask was what exactly. And can someone give us maybe you can just do a concise.
Well, that's because when we had this discussion before, I think as a council we didn't quite realize like who we could have on there, whether they had to be a voter and within the confines. So I think just having a little discussion and having that information including in the packet would help us just in future making those decisions.
Sure, we can do about that.
If I may, I think the county just handled it.
Oh, I'm not talking about that one instant. I'm just talking about in general when we appoint people.
Okay.
It's good to know the procedure. If we're going to employ people, I would like to be aware of the procedure. Now, I looked at the RCW of what we're supposed to do, and then I was told we followed the county. I haven't specifically looked at the county procedure in a while, so it would just refresh my memory what that is.
I can also send out the link the county sent me that I couldn't find it when I looked online, but it's their procedures for elections, and it would be good actually for anyone who's running for office next year. It gives all the ins and outs for that process as well.
whether we, you know, refuse putting a person on the council. There was a, when we had appointed, this was previous, couple times ago, when we had formulated a committee, and just knowing what we can do as a council, refusing to appoint someone on a committee, what our rationale and reasons would be. So I just think that's good information for us to have as we move forward. We might, again, not get anyone who wants to be appointed pro and con, but then we at least know the procedure and are aware of what we should be kind of looking at.
Councilmember Hamburg.
Sure. So, to follow up with that, so for criminal justice, it's really vague here. Can someone explain what the point of these committee, pro and con committee members for the ballot measure? Is this for the ballot
it's
measure?
It's for the voter's pamphlet.
Okay, yeah. Just for providing the statements. Then.
The attorney will provide an explanatory statement, okay. And then the pro and con committees, if nobody applies at all, the county will do their best to provide people for, but
okay.
You know, that very often you'll find no statements in the pamphlet. That,
okay.
You know, employees can do it, you know, council members.
That clears it up. Thank you.
Yeah.
The second thing that I wanted to bring up was, unfortunately, opposite of what Councilmember Gearing brought up, about the 23rd, I thought about this over the week, and when I came in tonight and I saw the schedule, I was actually glad to see it on the 23rd. And I'll tell you the reason why. I remember it was a late evening, probably 3 weeks ago, and Councilmember Williams actually brought up the fact that rather than trying to squeeze things into three weeks and have these super late nights where we, by that time, you've lost us, you can't even think straight, we frankly are having a hard time caring. So I would prefer to stretch it out. I'd rather have four shorter meetings and know that, you know, we'll get everything covered than to have three and have one or two of them run really late and, you know, all of us just be frustrated. And so all during this week I was reviewing those thoughts, and so I'm definitely, those are my thoughts.
I think City Administrator Brazel had a comment on that particular week as well.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate those comments. And one of the things that we looked at as staff is how this date affects a project. And it really flies in the face of all the work we've done, council and staff, is in regards to making efficiency changes in our permitting processes. This would push this project out another 2 weeks. And you've got developers, contractors, all those things that may be lined up. And because we aren't going to be here on a third Tuesday, you know, that can be an issue. So at any rate, if council would like to propose changing the rules to where we only meet, not a fourth Tuesday, but if we only want to meet three times a month, we can certainly change that in the rules and procedures while we're working on that. Then we won't schedule something on there. But now when developers and contractors are looking at council's schedule, they plan on, you know, being able to get their project heard on that date. So anyway, just something to think about.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, I threw it out.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So just to be clear, you're saying Councilman Gearing is voting against efficiency. Councilmember Gamble.
But yeah, your point of clarification, but you know, my comments ever on that has always been when we only had one item on the agenda.
Sure.
And you know, I always question bringing everybody in if we have one item on the agenda. Of course, if it's time sensitive, as you pointed out, you know, I totally understand that. But if you have one item and you're bringing everybody in, we're paying everybody to come in, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think there's one. The other thing I look at is April 16th. There's a pretty big agenda, and there's the, you know, we talk about managing me or getting to the point where, hey, if we need to push it out, that could be something that, you know, if we don't get something here, that it gets pushed over here if we don't go past 10 o'clock.
Understood. Okay.
So, I'm fine with it.
Good enough, yeah. No worries.
Thank you. Ben?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot about this earlier. Just a little heads up, we had a slight snafu with the utility billing mailing. The vendor that mails the utility bills, they had the last month's newsletter in, still in their machine, and so they didn't take it out or something. I don't know how they did it, but what they did is they mailed some of the bills with last month's newsletter and then put in the new newsletter. So some people got the correct newsletter, some people did not. So this Friday they are sending out a separate mailing at no cost to the city with a little note saying that they goofed up and that this is the correct insert that should have been in the utility bill and that this is not costing the city any money. So she said make sure they say that. We're doing another mailing. So I just, in case anyone says anything to you, I just want you to be aware of what happened.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know it's not on the agenda, but we can go around and just council member, do you have anything to add?
I'm not tonight, thank you.
Student representative Ronald?